5:15, and it's time for Message in the Bottle. We do it every Tuesday on Downtown. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant, and Crossroads Beverage Company at the brand new location, 19 Moosehead Trail in Newport. Eric Meehan here in studio with us. Welcome, sir.
Hello. How are y'all?
We're good. Wonderful, thanks. Now, before we talk about
this, you're not tired. You're not yawning. Everybody's.
We're back.
We're up.
You being here is wine time. We're all alert now because you're here.
Brilliant. That's funny. That's not usually the cause and effect of wine time, but whatever. I'll take it.
I wanted to ask you, though, because I saw it on Facebook. You've got some special rosés, limited offerings.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the fun things about being in the specialty wine trade is occasionally there are people who know that you will give more than 5 seconds thought to any given thing that they'll bring before you. And so there are certain products that from time to time they can bring you. You sort of have to commit and make a pre-order, months down the line. So I tried several different German rosés, and a lot of people haven't had experience with German rosés, and we'll be talking probably about at least one of these next week when we start, or probably the week after when we talk about German wines. They're Pinot Noir rosés, so people in America love Pinot Noir, but they don't know that really the heartland is not only Burgundy that we've been talking about in France, but also because of whether or not you believe in global warming, the effect has been over the past 40 years that the sometimes ripe harvests in Burgundy are pretty much always ripe now, and actually you're starting to get a really ungodly good Pinot Noir up in Germany, which is really just up the Hart Mountains, as it were. So they're beautiful, supple wines that I think are crazy, and including possibly the best rosé I've ever had, which is for $30. I mean, how many best of wines can you ever say that about? And also a beautiful French rosé from a region that we'll actually be talking about today, which is the Languedoc, so the southern coast of France. Get on in, because I only got X amount of cases of each, and that's it, because I'm a humble man, and I can't just take pallets of everything I want, because I would end up drinking all of it anyway, and happily so, but I can't do that. So yeah, please come on in and check these out. We'll be tasting them at our tastings, by the way, tomorrow from 5 to 7 and Bangor Wine and Cheese, and 5 to 7 on Friday at Crossroads Beverage in Newport in our new location at 19 Moosehead Trail. And now we talk about the Rhone and Languedoc. So just reminding everybody, we've sort of done a whirlwind tour of France, combining everything we've been talking about over the past couple months. And then last week we talked a bit about Bordeaux and the Loire Valley. And today we're going to hit my probably favorite region and regions, which is the Rhone Valley, which is just south of Burgundy. And then also Languedoc, which is a big swath of land. So again, we're sort of swallowing everything at once. Going from the Spanish coast, which they call the Côte Catalane, so former Catalonia, all the way up towards Provence. Why I'm tying these two regions together is because they basically have similar grape types that you will find there. So in the northern Rhone Valley, you have Syrah, southern Rhone, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, Carignan, things like this. And then, of course, in Languedoc, you find these same grapes. The real difference is rules. In the northern Rhone, by law, the reds have to be Syrah. They can have a little of the white grape Viognier blended in, but that's the rules, right? And in the southern Rhone, you have a certain number of grapes that you are ascribed based on which appellation, remember which little part of the Rhone Valley you're in. But predominantly, as I said, Grenache predominates. Whereas in the Languedoc, the land is much less expensive, and up until 10 years ago or so, there was really no place with rules. So you had a sort of an interesting juxtaposition of winemakers who were making mass-produced wine that were, potentially not even for French consumption. For instance, the famed label Fat Bastard comes from southern France, from the Languedoc region. No one particularly knows that or cares about it. It's just a sort of a drinkable table wine made in a place where there's no rules. But it also had a lot of really cool young winemakers, including a couple friends of mine who went down there and found places with no rules, and over time have gone and created wines of such quality that they are starting to create their own appellations, and not as many rules as such, but saying that these particular plots of land, the terroir is really spectacular, so places like La Clap in Minervois, things like that, are really coming onto the scene. But it's a very interesting wine that we're going to be trying today, because it comes from a region that sits between the Languedoc and the Rhone. And it's a kind of a funny story. So this is a wine from the Côtières de Nîmes, which is a mouthful, but it's Côtières de Nîmes. So it's now part of the Rhone, and it used to be part of the Languedoc, which, as you recall, had no rules. So this is from a family that really, really loves their plot of earth, but they really, really don't like the fact that all their neighbors about 10 years ago got together and said, can we please be considered part of the Rhone Département? They wanted that because money, really, and classiness. But there was a lot of people who said, you know, we started here because of the freedom of the thing. So the wine we are having today is predominantly Grenache, as I was saying, is part of the Southern Rhone. By the way, the name of the wine is Terre de Brume. And it's available at both stores, and it's very affordable little wine, and you know, very generous. A lot of blackberry and raspberry and spice, and it goes with everything or goes with nothing if you feel like having nothing. Great for grilled things, it's a really, really classic example of the wines that you find in this region. You know, people talk about, you know, they love little Côte de Rhone and things like that. There's a ton of wines from the Rhone Valley and then going into Languedoc that all sell for mid-teens, that are just killer, and this is absolutely one of those examples. So what do y'all think? You like it? I see.
Bruce, I love it. My sister-in-law worked for Mondavi in Languedoc for years.
Cool.
So we got to go. We were over there. We got to visit a lot of those small wineries, and she always told me about the no rules and stuff. I look for wines from that region a lot because they're usually very well priced, and I never had a really bad one, I can tell you that. I've had a lot of great ones.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you find a lot of interesting varietals being grown down there for export to the American market, some of which are fantastic and some of which are mediocre because they're trying to force something because there are no rules. A lot of the Pinot Noir that you get that is from France that isn't Burgundian Pinot Noir is from the Languedoc, and some of it's successful and some of it smells like a tire on fire. I wish I was making that up, but I'm not. Sad. And then you also find, you know, plots where there's 100-year-old vine Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting stuff, and it's just gorgeous. So it's a fascinating place.
For a euro and a half a bottle.
Also that. Yeah. Also that. And it's fantastic. I mean, you know, as you say, it's one of those regions like Spain or you know, plots of California that aren't as well known, where you can actually still find, you know, great examples of wine at a modest price. Oh, that's that go with everything too. It's Côte de Rhone, and then little villages in the Rhone that you've never heard of, Vacaras, Vinsaube, Gigondas. These are all producing wines that you don't have to pay $100 a bottle for. And then in the Languedoc, as I was saying, places like Corbière, Minervois, these are places of distinction within the greater region. So yeah. What else is there? I do want to remind everybody before I take off again that we are having our tastings, and we will be trying said German Pinot Noirs and French Pinot Noir, Pinot Noir Rosés, tomorrow at Bangor Wine and Cheese from 5 to 7, and Crossroads Beverage from 5 to 7 on Friday. And I believe we're actually going to have an exciting Facebook giveaway.
Ooh.
So do check out Facebook for Crossroads Beverage and Bangor Wine for a very exciting giveaway for something happening this weekend involving wine.
People should get on your mailing list because it's really good, your email list.
Thank you.
Really good.
Appreciate it.
It's real pro. I really enjoy it.
Well, there's a guy who started importing named Kermit Lynch, which is great. I didn't know that anybody was named Kermit beyond my favorite green frog, as opposed to other color frogs. And he's a guy out in San Francisco, blues guitarist, and he was one of these guys who went around and first started importing really, really, you know, cool small production wines. And He was one of those guys who started writing newsletters that had a personal feel. And I always loved that because, I mean, you know, I don't really, you can tell, you can go through the hype. I mean, hype doesn't really interest anybody. But, I mean, you know, if you can tell them that my single tasting note on this one German rosé was a four-letter word that I'm not going to say over the air. But, I mean, that's, you know, it means something to me. It's like, I don't say things like that lightly. Yes, I do.
And I'm not a joiner. I'm not big on being in any club, but yeah. I like knowing things about what's going on that other people don't know, like knowing about those rosés. I wouldn't have known about that.
There we go. Yeah, but absolutely, please, if you'd like to get on my newsletter list, I do actually put some time into it, so check it out. And you can do that also on our website. And, yeah.
That's where I did it.
That's where he did it.
By the way, next week, an
yes.
early edition of Message in the Bottle, 4:30 next Tuesday.
That's right. I have the Bangor Symphony annual board meeting of the corporation or something like this. It's a very lofty title. So, so I got to go to that, and I will be here earlier, and I will be drinking, which may help me get through the annual board meeting of the corporation. I didn't say that.
Will you take
I
a
love
bottle
all my board
there,
members.
Too, like you do with us?
They often ask. So, you know, you do all this wine. Where's
did,
the...
Did that play any role in you getting on the board?
I might have. I'm going to remain silent on that. Which will be the first time I've remained silent on anything.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We'll see you next week.